This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WEEI Afternoons, and we are here at Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Day two of the NFL Draft. Patriots will have three picks today, but they are about to present their first pick in Foxborough. We're going to keep an eye on Gillette Stadium, where Robert Kraft, Will Campbell should be speaking to the media. If and when they get going, we will throw to that live. But until then, it's 3 o'clock, and that means it's time for the three-point stance.
319!
318!
319!
318,
shut up!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up? Shut up!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time once again for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman, and here's what you do. You call all sevens at 617-777-7777. There you go. You got it. It's 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Each host, that is Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson, will present their stance on whatever they are hottest on in the world of sports and sometimes beyond. In honor of the draft, and because our guys Andy and Ted are cold and grouchy and they've been around each other for too long this week, we are leaving the clock out of it today, so each host will get as much time as their little hearts desire to present their opening stance on their story of the day, and after each host is gone, we'll open up for discussion. Our order today, as it always is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready, my friend?
I am, and I heard that little shot, the little heart's desire. Okay, we'll go there.
No, that's you taking it personally. Come on now.
Andy, this is one of the very few times where I wasn't making fun of you on purpose, but I will tell you instead that your unlimited amount of time, 60 seconds or something beyond that, starts now.
So yesterday I talked about how the overall NFL draft here sort of opened up my eyes to a new perspective on the power, popularity of the NFL. The
and marketing. Our friendship.
Yes, and our friendship and traveling with Ted Johnson. But last night, as we were walking back to Buffalo Wild Wings to get to the car from Lambeau Field, we were walking through the neighborhoods that you've seen on TV. Pre-game shows like to highlight it next to Lambeau Field. It's basically in a neighborhood. And seeing it firsthand, seeing these homes where all of these garage doors are just rolled up to reveal the ultimate man cave, tailgating, bar environment. They were all open. They were all enjoying it. Now, they were all also making some money by charging people $100 to park on their front lawn. But it gives you a different, okay, and we're going to cut me off and go right to Robert Kraft. That was Patriots number 4 overall pick, left tackle Will Campbell at Gillette Stadium. His introductory press conference photo opportunity. He got the number 1 jersey, significant of his draft status, as Robert Kraft said, as they started 25 years ago with Richard Seymour.
Big C.
And Will Campbell, yet again, seemed to have all the right answers. He gets more impressive the more you listen to him. Very mature, comfortable, and interesting guy the Patriots have acquired. WEEI Afternoons rolls along. We are going to hopefully talk to Mike Giardi later in the show, get his reactions to the Will Campbell pick and Will Campbell press conference. We'll continue to react to Will Campbell's arrival in New England. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we need to trend with Dan Ball. That was self-proclaimed quarterback guy and Patriots left tackle Will Campbell. His introductory press conference at Gillette Stadium, a sunny Gillette Stadium, unlike here in Green Bay, where WEEI Afternoons. We got a nice tent, thanks to our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, but it's a little chilly and rainy out right now.
It's not discouraging people from coming in. We're actually more crowded right now than we were yesterday at this time.
Yeah, this is going to be quite a party today by the looks of it, although the lights
just power just went out. Hopefully we're still on.
We're still on the air because draft coverage here at WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leaders in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track, northeastmenshealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky, like Ted Johnson. Mm-hmm. And by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grillmates Seasoning. Anything jump out to you from Will Campbell's latest meeting with the media other than simply he seems quite comfortable answering questions and in his own skin and sort of how he thinks about football and life and teammate. And
you know,
that.
I'm just sitting there thinking, RKK's got to love this guy. He's saying all the right things. You know, just talking about the history of the Patriots and what it means and that kind of stuff is going to go a long way with the owners. But what I love is – what I'm so impressed with is this guy is a bright, bright kid. I mean, he gets it. He understands kind of when you're going to be drafted that high and how people are going to look at him, what – responsibilities come with that, and he seems to be totally fine with it and very, very comfortable in his skin. You don't usually see young men that at that age that comfortable in their own skin, which I absolutely love. I think you're just – let's face it. We do interviews with players all the time. 99% of the interviews we do, they don't – players don't give you anything. Say they don't show much. This guy's got personality.
Yep.
And that's – in Vrabel – Vrabel has personality. When he came to us in 2001 and was part of our linebacker group and our team, we had a bunch of characters, a bunch of big personalities and alphas, and that was part of our secret of success. Vrabel wants to kind of put this team in the similar fashion that the teams that he played on here in New England, and it starts with having guys that are characters with big personalities, and obviously Will Campbell's got a big personality that fits kind of the culture that Vrabel's trying to establish.
And Fitzy, it sounds like it goes beyond the media, the football field, the football team. He said, I like to talk to people. He clearly has intentions of being involved in the community and charitable endeavors. He is, I don't know if you could get off to a much better footing than Will Campbell, Fitzy.
Yeah, he's saying all the right things, pressing all the right buttons. I think he's kind of come to a conclusion on or tapped out on chapter one of the awesome Will Campbell things to say, because I think by the end of the press conference we had been blessed enough, fortunate enough, opportunity enough, whatever. And you know, now he's done that. Now it's sort of, you can tell he's reached peak Will Campbell soundbite, and now he just wants to get back to playing football. Also nice to see last night, lovely looking family as well, when he was doing all of his red carpet action, had his girlfriend there who looked like she was wearing Versace going to the Met Gala. Mom,
Versace.
The whole shit. Yeah, like well put together ensemble, the entire Campbell family. They're going to be a nice addition. Even though he looks like a 12-year-old boy that was hit with like a magic growing ray.
I don't know what that means, but sorry, Fitzy. One thing I got to say about what I love about this kid's personality, mm-hmm. and why it's important is because I think having characters on offensive line makes for a better football team.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Andy,
yes.
You've been covering football.
Yep.
Offensive linemen, to me, you know, like Matt Light's always doing pranks. It's kind of, you know, offensive linemen, and I used to always make fun of offensive linemen. They usually marry their high school or college girlfriends because yep. I mean, they were like, you know, they all go, you know what, I'm only going to get fatter and uglier, and so I might as well – you know, marry this girl that likes me, you know, at 18 years old. But it's the wives of the offensive linemen that usually bring the team together.
Yep.
If that makes sense. And so they're they're the most important unit on the team. And then when you have leaders in that unit, it just makes for a better football team, in my opinion.
Well, it's a little bit like when they, you know, say hockey players are the most relatable. I feel like the offensive linemen on football teams are often the most
yep.
blue-collar,
no
down
doubt.
To earth, relatable. And I do think they can set a tone because, you know, defensive backs can be weird. They're a really high-strung, loud, competitive. Yep. They're elite athletes. Wide receivers, the same things. The quarterbacks are so busy. They got all their crap going on. It's like the linemen. And this team has had a lot of different types of them, I guess, over the years. The Matt Lights. Gray Rugemer was a crazy backup lineman that I thought kind of played a role.
Todd Rucci. You
know, Nate Solder was a different, really sort of stoic leader, kind of quiet, but did his thing. Logan Mankins was more the country boy. He'll get in a fight on the field, but he'll answer any question off of it.
Right, right.
And I do agree with you that I think, you know, David Andrews has been the quiet leader of this offensive line, but I don't think they've had that more aggressive leadership style recently. And I think Will Campbell, now, I don't want to put too much on his plate. You know, I said
he seems to be okay with it, bud.
He does actually seem to be okay.
He don't mind
it
at all.
But I think that's a part of who he's going to be, is bringing that group together, whatever it looks like, whether it's free agent additions or whether it's young guys that develop with him or however that comes about.
And Fitzy, it's, you know, you start to think about David, you know, Andy just mentioned David Andrews. It's like, you know, letting go of David Andrews, that was with Will Campbell in mind. Like, I think.
Probably.
Like, it's kind of like, you know, if David Andrews was still on his team, would it allow Will Campbell? They see a leader, natural-born leader in Will Campbell.
Yep.
Would he be able to be the leader they really want from Will Campbell to be if David Andrews is still on
his
team?
Probably not, because there's a certain – because I bet you, just seeing what we've seen from him, he would be deferential
of course,
and respectful.
Of the older guy.
And that might not allow him to kind of spread his short wings and take over the locker room and take a certain tactic.
Similar to another position on this team, you know? I mean, you know, Joe Milton, Drake May kind of thing.
To some degree, although – and you know what I do? It's funny you bring that up, the Drake May comparison, because we were – I know I was complimentary of Drake May a year ago in the way he approached things, his leadership. And there were questions about was he deferential to Jacoby Brissett and maybe didn't try to really attack the starting job in the summer and was too,
right,
he's the pros,
right,
pro, I'm going to follow his leadership, and that maybe is something that's going to be a little different with the offensive line here, because I do think there's some similarities between these two guys in terms of comfortable in their skin. The one thing I'm interested in, Fitzy, is how comfortable he is talking. And I guess he said it, I like to talk to people, so maybe he sees it as no different, but it's one thing for a quarterback like Drake May. You've always been the spokesman. High school, you were the spokesman. College, you're the spokesman. Offensive linemen don't really talk to the media that often in high school and college. And now,
and they don't sound like he sounds.
Like he
normally
sounds, right. They're usually kind of scared, uncomfortable. He sounds like he's just going to hit the ground running as one of the go-to media guys on this team, Fitzy.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the package. That's why they brought him in the first place. He's got all the quips. He's got all the stories. He's got funny little, you know, Cajun bayou lines and anecdotes as well. And I think his personality goes part and parcel with his fearlessness on and off the field as well. And, you know, the poor guy, you got to just imagine for everyone in the audience what his last 24 hours has been like. All the hype and hysteria of landing there, the promos they've done. I saw him doing fried chicken promos with a certain company out there, doing Kay Adams. You run through the car wash of all the media. Then you get in the suit. Then there's the anxiety of draft night. Then you get picked. Then you take photos at the jersey. Then he did 20 different hits last night. Now here he is up and at him nice and early, doing more media, gets on a private jet, flies from Green Bay to probably Norwood or to Providence, has to come and do all of that. Like, this guy is probably exhausted, just riding on pure adrenaline right now. And to your point of being deferential to David Andrews, aside from the fact that David Andrews even told us last week at our event at Vitamin C that his shoulder still isn't right. And by the way, he's down 40 pounds from his playing weight. Like, he is significantly slighter. He's not playing anytime. He didn't want to confirm it for us there that night, but he's not playing anymore. He looks good. He sounds great. Yeah. He said he gets out of bed now without any pain. He's playing with his kids. He's happy as hell. Without knowing, Ted, we know. But now you have a chance to establish a new identity along the line as well. But your leader now is not just immediately Will Campbell, guys. I think your de facto leader on this offensive line, who Will Campbell is going to learn a lot from, is going to be Morgan Moses.
Like, of course.
He's going to be your physical and your emotional and spiritual leader on that line.
It would be weird if Morgan Moses wasn't the leader.
But he can only do so much because, A, he's also a new guy. He's going to be figuring out.
Going into his 12th year, though.
No, but I mean here. And then also, he's only going to be here a short period of time, in all likelihood, a year or two. So he'll be the veteran in the room.
Yep.
But he'll, I think, probably know he's helping to train Will Campbell to take over fully in a year or whenever it's really his room. And I think Will Campbell's going to just naturally ascend the way he seems to be comfortable with this. He'll naturally ascend. It's funny, Fitzy, though, you mentioned kind of the whirlwind 24 hours for a guy like Will Campbell. Mm-hmm. And he's doing all this so well. I wonder what part of him, though, because I just assume as an offensive lineman, he wants to get on a football field and start doing offensive lineman type things.
He's probably so over this stuff.
When does he say, can we put the suit away, the microphone away, the camera away, and just get me out there with Doug Marrone and start learning blocking schemes and doing some drills and stretching my arms out a little?
It's coming soon enough, Bubba. They don't have, they used to have after the draft, just a only rookies only minicamp. That's what I was a part of.
Real quick, too.
It was like the week after.
Yeah.
So they don't do that anymore.
Right? I think they still do.
Just rookies.
I think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think we have access to it like we used to.
We need to check on that. I don't think they do. Really, no other veterans there. I feel like it's the veterans, the OTAs start.
The OTAs start, but I think there is still a rookie.
A rookie mini
because they do.
I'd be curious about that.
They do like orientation type stuff too.
Okay.
Like sometimes they take them to the hall and they make them watch. No, I shouldn't say make them. They have them watch the video about the history of the Patriots.
Yep.
And they have them. They'll learn that Ted Johnson was a middle linebacker
and had a hard head.
All Marshall Newhouse highlights.
Okay.
And what's this thing that's going on right now, by the way, Andy? Because people have seen photos this week of like Vrabel out in the field and Diggs. And what is this?
I got a thought on this.
This is phase two. This was the extra mini camp that they took full advantage of because unlike Gerard Mayo, they were ready to coach the players.
Gotcha. I thought you were talking about something else, Fitzy. I'm reading some quotes from Vrabel talking about the workout that he put Will Campbell through last week.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you ever see me and Vrabel together, like the first thing, you know, we don't shake hands. Like most people, hey, buddy, good to see you.
Please don't tell me you like chest bump or something.
Do you know what we do? The first thing we try, you kind of almost see the smile starting when we both try to get our hands inside. We hit each other's breath check to try and get our hands in there like we're two-gapping them. Each other.
I am not surprised.
So here's I say that to say this. Vrabel, he said, quote, I think it was important for me to get out there and feel him and feel every player that we evaluated at the line of scrimmage. Like, Vrabel has heavy hands. Like, you know, you heard that term heavy hands, right? So when he hits you, it's like, boom, you feel it. Like, Vrabel wants to feel these prospects. Mm-hmm. And do they have heavy hands? How does it feel when they're engaging you? Like, it's a weird thing, but as a coach, I can understand why he does that.
Can I ask you a dumb question? Is it possible that he wanted to – this is going to sound stupid. See how close he was to Will Campbell when Will Campbell – no,
maybe.
He's like, maybe. Sort of, like,
right.
Did he feel like
– yeah.
I'm kind of close to you. Like, I'm into your body a little bit.
A little bit. Well, yeah, it's like me when I come up and I do this to you. Hey, good to see you. And I squeeze your bicep. I'm like, okay, you know, evaluating your bicep.
If I've been working out or something lately.
Right. There's probably something to that.
I wonder about that because I did think – because we do have this sort of contradiction of he wanted them and they wanted him as early as like last fall. But then it really was decided last week on this secret trip to Louisiana. Maybe there was that last, everybody's bitching about the arm length. Yeah. Maybe I just need to feel it for myself and see it for myself.
It's like, you know, almost like if you're waiting to do it out until you're married, it's like, I don't know if that's a good thing. I think you should see what it's like, you know, before you actually say I do, because you never
know. Interesting.
Right? If you wait till marriage, you might go, this isn't what I thought it would
not
be like.
Not what I wanted.
You know?
Not what I expected. 617, exactly, Fitzy. We're just going to move right on past that. 617-779-7937. Continuing to react to the drafting of Will Campbell. He is in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. He's going to wear jersey number 66, so you'll see the common images that you've seen in his past. Moving forward, we're going to continue to talk about Will Campbell, but we need to talk about the rest of the draft, what you liked, what you didn't like, what was exciting. We had a big trade at the top of the draft. We had a big trade at the back end of the first round. We had a big name who is still waiting, and we'll be waiting to hear his name call tonight. More draft talk here on WEEI Afternoons as we get back. WEEI Afternoons from Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field. Day two of the NFL draft. Patriots have three picks tonight, which begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, starting with their 38th selection, unless they trade up. We rolled with the punches there a little bit with the Will Campbell press conference from Gillette Stadium. We're going to get it back now to the three-point stance. If you remember, if you were listening, you recall I was talking about our walk through the neighborhood next door to Lambeau Field. I got a new appreciation for everything that goes into being a Packers fan and being a Green Bay resident next to Lambeau. Fitzy, I think you've experienced some of this in the past.
Indeed, I was actually there. I was working for the Pro Football Hall of Fame on an initiative in 2009, and the day that we set up a promotional event outside to promote the Hall of Fame, I had Bart Starr on stage. It was awesome, and it was actually the day that Favre returned. It was the Favre versus Rodgers game, Favre for the Vikings against the Packers in 2009. So I was on hallowed grounds and got to watch a historic game. It was just like football dreams come true type of day.
And these people that tailgate in their driveway, that have parties, so, you know, fire pits, outdoor TVs.
If we were feeling it, Andy, you and I could probably have just walked up and said, hey, we're from New England. Can we join you? And they would have said, yeah, here, grab a beer.
And this is no shot to any other stadium, any other fan base. I just think there's a unique setup at Lambeau, and now they've developed some of it with Title Town and condos and all that.
Incredible development around the stadium.
Beautiful.
Absolutely incredible.
But even cooler than that are all these sort of ranch one-level homes with these garages that are the ultimate tailgating experience. So I'm very appreciative to have gotten sort of a firsthand look at that.
You know how smart it would have been to buy into one of those little ranch homes 15 years ago before Airbnb took over, because now they've all poured between like $50,000 and $100,000 into them with the sliding retractable garage doors and keg lines and neon signs. Ted, these places go for, on a standard weekend, not NFL draft weekend, it's an all-inclusive, usually like 6-bedroom now that a lot of them are. And you and your friends can come in for the ultimate Packers or football road fan weekend for approximately $20,000.
Holy Moses. Yeah.
But a lot of them come with bartenders, Andy, stocked fridges, Lineys and Miller Lights out the wazoo. They're incredible.
Let me tell you, man, Midwesterners know how to throw a party, man. They know how to throw a party.
No, you're not. You ain't joking.
And it was on full display yesterday. Yep. I got family in Iowa. I mean, it's just like there's so much, really, so many thoughts. When it comes, I'll tell you about just the property itself, like kind of Title Town versus Patriot Place. I mean, what's incredible here is that there are, Fitzy, there are residences on the property. Like, people literally live
next
here
door.
Year-round.
Yes.
Yeah. And beautiful residences.
Imagine apartments and houses at Patriot Place. Like, people literally want to live next to Lambeau Field, or my guess is there's a lot of people that split their time, right? They live half their, you know, the time in Florida and the other half here in the football season. And you know what? I almost get it. It's like a college football program, but on steroids.
Right. And there, as they announced the pick last night, they referenced, you know, they're all shareholders. The only team that is community owned.
That's right.
So, Ted, what was your 3-point stance?
Oh, you know, real quick, this is just a tip of the cap or an acknowledgement to a player that got drafted last night in the first round, of course, 21st overall pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a defensive tackle named Derek Harmon out of Oregon. And this is just – it's heartbreaking. It hit me like a thunderbolt what happened to this young man last night. But his mom, Tiffany, has had health issues her whole life. She has had 8 different brain surgeries in her life. God. She was on life support system during the draft last night. And after Derek Harmon was drafted – he's telling people he was on his way to tell his mom that he's going to play in the NFL. And in that time, his mother passed away.
Oh, my God.
And so Derek Harmon, defensive tackle for the Steelers out of Oregon, just listening to his comment, he said bittersweet. Can you imagine?
No.
The day you get drafted is when, you know, the woman of your life who you just adore more than anything passes and isn't there to see it. It's just – it's heartbreaking. And I give this kid so much credit that he was able to show up and be there and be available. I'm a huge fan of this kid now, knowing the story, and I just wanted to tell that story so people kind of know what happened for that young man last night. Just a heartbreaking story, Fitzy.
Yeah, to reach the pinnacle or the goal that you've always held high, that you know she made so many sacrifices for and lived her life to see you realize, only to then tell her and then have her pass moments later is just... It's red that there's such melancholy and tragedy in that, Ted. It's beautiful, but it's just also just heartbreaking.
It is. Well, what do you got, Fitzy? You got something for us?
I was all geeked up, and I know we're a little clipped for time now, but basically in a nutshell, my 3-point stance today was all about pivoting away from the disappointment or frustration or I would say fanatical ambivalence that a lot of people from stadium to social media and beyond displayed for the drafting of Will Campbell. Now we're beyond the T-Rex arms and making the jokes about reach and everything else. You've had a chance to hear from him about how much his family means to him, how much it means to play for the Patriots, how much it's going to mean to block for and protect Drake May. And at this point now, we all need to just get behind the big guy. And if he plays half as well as he sound bites, if he delivers half of the punch on field that he does in some of these speeches, then maybe, just maybe, we got a dog out there. So, you know, I'm not complaining. I ain't grousing anymore about it. I'm all in.
That's right. Whether you wanted
him
or not,
now.
He's yours
he's
now.
He's ours.
And you can't have the other guys you did want because they went somewhere else.
Yep.
So love him, accept
love
him.
Love the one you're with.
That's right. Root for him. And up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to touch on the Boston Celtics. They have a playoff game tonight. We're going to continue to talk to the media members about the pick of Will Campbell. Talk to our buddy Mike Giardi, as we do every Friday. We'll get into Shedeur Sanders and his wait to get selected. All things NFL draft and a touch of Celtics next on WEEI Afternoons.